trip. Get me out and be the biggest little flirt. Well, I might. Welcome to the Shame Free Zone with Veronica Monet, your friendly former sex worker and certified sexologist. The Shame Free Zone is a safe place for your questions and your secrets about all things sexual.
And this is the Shame Free Zone. It's Monday night, the 23rd of August. I have a really interesting topic going for you tonight. Actually, I don't know, maybe it's not that interesting, but it's certainly an important one. I'm sure everybody is pretty familiar by now with type 2 diabetes. We hear about it on the news all the time. You may even be affected by it yourself. You might know somebody who has type 2 diabetes. I have quite a bit of diabetes in the background of my family, some of it type 1, actually, but also type 2. So I was raised to pay a lot of attention to the blood sugar levels, but a lot of people haven't, and it's something that tends to affect younger and younger people. Now, we're seeing a lot of type 2 diabetes in grade school. So it is the most widespread disease in human history, and apparently every 10 seconds, someone is diagnosed with diabetes. Those are really, really frightening numbers when you think about it. Some people say that it is totally reversible and curable, and I think that we're getting to a point now where a lot of people would agree with that, but, you know, question is, are people willing to take the cure? So we're going to be talking about that tonight with my guest, who is Dr. Stefan Rivich. He's out of Santa Fe, New Mexico. And he's actually known as the go-to guy for all things having to do with curing diabetes. So he's been a licensed clinical practitioner for more than 20 years. He combines both Western and Eastern medicine, so he's got the naturopathic and the allopathic training, and he's combined that into something that he calls the One Medicine. So we're going to start our show off tonight by letting him say hi to us, and then we're going to come right over to Facebook and start answering some of your questions. Dr. Rivich, welcome to the Shame Free Zone.
Veronica, thanks so much for having me. I'm so pleased to be here. I'm so pleased to be able to connect with your audience about this important topic.
Well, it is an important topic, and, you know, one of the questions that I actually posed to Facebook tonight was, would you rather feel sick and eat what you like to eat or feel healthy and do without the food you love?
Well, I don't think it's that clear-cut, though. You know,
yeah, I was kind of hoping you might argue that point. So tell us how you see it.
Well, you know, one of the things about your audience is that they're sort of a rebellious, interesting group of people. And the question is not so much would you rather feel sick and eat what you love versus feeling healthy and not do what you love. Because, you know, on some level, that's a metaphor for what you talk about in your whole theme about being yourself and being authentic. The question is, do you want to go along with conventional teaching about diabetes and suffer with it, or do you want to be a rebel and do what my patients do, and that's claim their right to a healthy and happy life and do it without caving into what conventional medicine tells us we have to do?
Well, absolutely. Tell us a little bit more about that, if you would. Well, I mean, I know in your own search, it sounds like you were a bit of a rebel, that you were told you should take, a clinically backed program, and then you decided, no, you wanted to take naturopath, or do I have that right? Something else?
Yeah, you know, the thing is that I was already a nurse practitioner for a long time out in Palo Alto at the VA hospital, and I had seen what conventional medicine could provide, and I was, you know, and I honor that. I still am a nurse practitioner. I still prescribe medicine when it's indicated. I still help people adjust their medicines as they're no longer relevant. But there were some significant limitations in what we've been taught about diabetes and how to live a healthy life. And so when I wanted to go back to medical school, I chose to go to naturopathic medical school, which was, sort of about how to heal your body using your body's own natural healing power, your own internal wisdom.
Well, obviously, that requires a type of connection to one's body, I would think, doesn't it, that a lot of people don't have. I mean, don't you think a lot of people are kind of out of touch with the natural messages that their bodies are sending them?
Well, I'm not so sure that's true. I think we all get natural messages from our bodies. We all know intuitively what's right or wrong. But I think that the problem is that we're confused by messages that we get from society and conventional medicine, and we tend to overlook this innate healing power that we all have. And so my job is to help remind you of all of that. And, you don't have to take my word for it. You can go to my website and listen to what my patients have to say. That, there's a lot of solutions for this diabetes thing besides just taking a bunch of pills and going with the program.
Well, give us an idea. What kind of solutions are we talking about? Is this lifestyle, exercise, diet? What are we talking about?
Well, all of those things, really. If you see, in conventional medicine, the core belief is that patients aren't really interested in living authentically. Patients aren't really interested in doing what they need to do to make the changes they need to do. So soon or sooner, they're going to be on medicine. You might as well give them the medicine right away.
Wow. And I had no idea that that was the stance. I mean, it obviously comes across that way, but I just didn't realize it was so cynical.
Well, it's not that it's cynical or optimistic, but rather a philosophical approach. If you believe that diabetes is a disease that requires medicine, if you do believe that diabetes is a chronic lifelong problem that you just have to live with, then your solution is to find ways to make that livable with medicine.
Of course.
If you believe that your body has wisdom, if you believe that people can live a different way, can open their hearts to all kinds of options, then all kinds of treatments are available to you. And, this isn't really all new age. This isn't a big alternative thing. This is present in the conventional medical literature all over the place. In 1984, Karen O'Day went over to Australia and gathered up a bunch of Aboriginal people and asked them to return to their natural way of living and reject Western-style diet and so on. And she was able to demonstrate that she was able to get them to eliminate their high blood pressure, eliminate their diabetes. This isn't unusual. Here in California at UCLA, they did a great study showing how even small changes about diet and exercise had a huge benefit, far greater benefit than using metformin, which is the greatest drug that we're using now for diabetes. So it has to do with, a return to authenticity, or a return to your natural way of being, a return to a natural diet. And frankly, it's not me. It's not me that invented this. It's my patients who showed me everything that I needed to do. If your philosophy is that your body has enormous power to heal itself, then you come up with a whole different set of solutions. So what happened for me was that I dealt with more and more patients who were able to turn this around. And I wrote the book to help people who weren't able to come to Santa Fe and see me as patients.
And the name of the book again is 30 days.
The name of my book is The 30-Day Diabetes Cure, and when I wrote it, a lot of people will, you know, come on, you can't write that. You can't say the word cure. But the fact of the matter is this, that if you consider a cure to be a regression of symptoms so significant that you can reduce or eliminate your need for medication, then yes, I stand behind it. If you think that a cure is going to be, you go on this program and then, yippee, now I can eat whatever I want, well, that's not really a cure. That's not even really sane. So, 30-day diabetes cure. That's what the name of my book is.
Okay. So the Western medical profession might not call it a cure unless you go back to eating all the sugar you wanted.
Yeah, but that's not really a cure. That's not even really a good way to live.
Right.
I'm sure your
audience
is all very in tune with this. You know, this is about taking control of your life. This is about taking charge of your health. This is about taking charge of what makes sense to you and living.
Well, you know,
I think a
really good place to start off here, just distinguishing the difference between type 1 and type 2 diabetes, because I think that in itself points to the causative factors. You know, type 1, of course, is is something that you're born with, right?
Well, it's not that clear cut. You know, if you go to my website, www.30diabetescure.com, you'll hear from my patient with type 1 diabetes. See, the thing is that diabetes is characterized by an inability of the body to metabolize sugar. Now, we used to, you know, if you can imagine, we used to call it juvenile onset diabetes because your pancreas got sabotaged by your immune system and you were no longer able to make insulin. You see, all of the cells in our body have two receptors. One is for insulin, one is for sugar. And when those are both stimulated at the same time, the sugar moves out of the bloodstream and into the cell. Now, in the case of type 1 diabetes, which we used to call juvenile onset, you just don't actually make insulin, so no sugar moves out of the blood and into your cells. In type 2 diabetes, which we used to call adult onset diabetes, you have plenty of insulin. You have plenty of ways to get this, but your cells reject it because they have been so overwhelmed with all the sugar we've eaten all our lives, that they hide the insulin receptor so the sugar never moves out of the bloodstream and into the cells. The problem is that with our luxurious American lifestyle, we're finding that younger and younger and younger people, even children under the age of 10, are so overwhelmed with the sugar we're eating that they develop this thing, which we used to call adult onset, but can no longer call it that. We have to call it type 2 because even kids are getting it now.
As young as what? What's
the bottom line?
The bottom line is that
it's a problem where sugar doesn't move out of the blood and into the cells, and you get higher and higher blood sugars that just make enormous problems for you.
Yes, I know, and I'm asking, what is the youngest patient diagnosed with type 2 diabetes, do you know?
I don't know the youngest, although there were reports about children as young as 7 who are obese and getting type 2 diabetes.
And what's the connection between obesity and diabetes?
Well, you know, a lot of conventional medical people see obesity as the cause of diabetes, but I see it as a symptom of diabetes. You know, when your diet is haywire, you will accumulate weight and you will not be able to metabolize sugar. The fact of the matter is that if you find a way to reduce weight, you don't necessarily find a way to correct diabetes, the real solution in my mind is to correct your diet. And there's lots of evidence of this. Many people report how changing their diet will reverse their diabetes prior to colossal weight loss.
Oh, really? Okay. So you want to shift people's focus away from, like, losing the weight and just changing
yes.
the diet?
Yes, I'd like to change people's focus towards eating a healthy diet, and the weight comes off secondarily. You will
okay.
lose weight. But you will also change your metabolism, and that's the most important thing. And the fact of the matter is that, you know, there's all these cases of people who have gone through gastric bypass, and they never change their diet, and the gastric bypass fails, and they gain the weight back, and they get diabetes back. So the solution really is not gastric bypass, but rather changing how you live your life. And incidentally, listen, most of our conversation so far has been about diet, diet, diet. The fact of the matter is that in 30-day diabetes cure, less than half of what I talk about is about diet, but rather how to live your life. Not just about diet, but about getting up off the couch, starting to exercise, including yoga, including weight loss, and all of those things. But also about keeping a positive mental attitude. You know, there was that study, you guys are out in California, there was a study at Kaiser Permanente that showed that of all the people who were diagnosed as type 2 diabetes patients had received, 50% of them had received a diagnosis of a clinically significant mood disorder in the year prior to their diabetes diagnosis. So mood and exercise and lifestyle are all a part of this total solution. And, you know, this is what your audience is all about.
So your approach is very holistic. You're talking about exercise. As well as diet, and then changing one's mental. Do you bring in meditation or spirituality or?
Well, yes, meditation in the terms of stress management, but I don't preach any sort of particular religion or any particular methodology. But you definitely have to include all of that stuff if you're gonna talk about diabetes and so on. That's really also not just for patients with diabetes, but really for all of us. It's about a holistic approach, about claiming your right to a healthy life, and then moving forward from there.
Okay. So you had originally said type 1 and type 2 diabetes is not so easy to distinguish the two, but doesn't Western medicine make a distinction between what they consider the causes, like type 1 is something you're born with, but type 2 is more, it's like a result of a particular type of lifestyle, or am I mistaken?
No, you're right. I actually didn't say that it was hard to distinguish. Type 1 is pretty clear-cut. As far as we understand now, type 1 diabetics will always need to inject insulin, and type 2 diabetics tend to have plenty of insulin but not be able to metabolize sugar.
Okay.
The thing that I was suggesting was that the boundaries are getting less clear in terms of adult versus juvenile onset. And also, you know, the thing about type 1 diabetes is that they tend to titrate insulin based on your diet rather than asking you to change your diet to reduce your insulin intake. And that's an important thing to be mindful of.
Right. So, like, I've had friends who have type 1 diabetes, and I think it's type 1, but anyway, they're on insulin, and seems like the approach is pretty much eat whatever you want, just take enough insulin to make it possible for you to eat whatever you want.
Yeah, the only problem with that is that insulin itself, whether you inject it or make it yourself, is often considered highly inflammatory and results in vascular damage and everything. So what we want for type 1 diabetics is for them to be injecting the least amount possible. So the way you accomplish that is by really taking charge of your health and changing the things you eat. And look, you know, we keep focusing on what you eat, and that's clearly important, but it's how you really live your life.
Well, and can you tell us what you mean when you say that? In, you know, in a sentence, can you just, what do you mean? It's really about how you live your life.
Well, just simply this. You can't have a reckless lifestyle and hope to control your diabetes. You have to have a sensible lifestyle, which is authentic. And, you know, the conventional medical system believes that patients aren't really motivated to change their lives. Patients really don't have the self-control to change their lives. And so they convey that as a belief in medicine rather than how you live your life. And if you change that around, you can make a big difference in the amount of medicine you take. And if you believe that your patient really won't make the lifestyle changes, you communicate that in terms of a belief in medicine, like, well, you know, you eat what you want and calculate your insulin accordingly.
Sure.
And it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. So you don't really communicate and educate your patients to make the difference.
Well, I get it. And your approach emphasizes prevention and lifestyle education as cornerstones of wellness, and you try to uncover the underlying causes of health problems rather than simply trying to put a Band-Aid on it. It sounds like you have a pretty, pretty involved and personal relationship with your clients. Is that true?
Well, I do, but I wrote the book for patients who couldn't come to see me so that it would be accessible. You know, the thing is that if broad and sweeping changes made the difference, well, we wouldn't have any need for New Year's resolutions. You know, we wouldn't make these commitments to big change. The fact is that change is something that we all need to learn how to do in an incremental way. So, for example, every day on 30-Day Diabetes Cure, I teach patients how to do one simple thing. Just one simple thing. For example, on day one, you cut out white sugar and refined foods and so on. That's all you got to do. If you want to have a pork chop for dinner, I don't quarrel with you about that. If you want to have salad and have cheese on it, I don't quarrel with you. All you got to do is not have sugar. And then keeping all of that, on day two, all you got to do is add half a teaspoon of cinnamon into your diet every day. Because cinnamon.
What's the cinnamon about?
What's that?
What is the cinnamon about?
Well, you know, there's plenty of conventional medical literature that suggests that cinnamon has enormous ability to control blood sugar. You know, they gave these patients, UCLA did this study, they gave patients rice pudding with cinnamon and rice pudding. It turns out the group that had rice pudding with cinnamon had no blood sugar spike after eating it. And, you know, cinnamon by weight has far more antioxidants than even blueberries. We all know what a superfood that is. So then on day two, you keep all of that. And on day three, all you got to do is not eat sugary beverages. You don't have to have any sodas, no fruit juice. If you want to have a steak for dinner, I don't worry about it. That's not what you're doing today. And then keeping all of that, on day four, you substitute healthy beverages. Inch by inch, you make progress so that by the end of 30 days, you have the skills you need to really turn this all around.
Well, it certainly sounds like this would be more palatable for, I don't know if you saw the movie about eating raw food, the raw food diet. And there were some people there that had diabetes, and they were going to get them off of their insulin in 30 days. But the diet was so extreme that a lot of people dropped out of the program. They just could not handle that extreme of a change in their diet. This certainly sounds like it would be a lot more user-friendly.
Well, you know, I honor the work that those guys did with that raw food diet. You know, it's certainly another way to accomplish it. But in my experience, it's very hard for people to make this kind of a dramatic change. And my changes that I ask people to do are more incremental. For example, I ask you to not eat out at lunchtime, but rather to pack your lunch, and I tell you how to do that. It's not necessarily easy to pack your lunch. You know, you have to plan it, you have to shop for it, you have to cook it, and you have to pack it. But
it's
still,
true. It's time-consuming.
What's that?
It's time-consuming. I have food allergies, so I never eat out, and I pack everything, and it's time-consuming.
It is.
It really is to plan ahead like that.
But what are you going to do? You want to have diabetes and be on medicine for the rest of your life, or do you want to make the cure? My patients self-select.
Yeah.
You know, they're done with that whole medicine fingerstick kind of thing. They want a real change, and I offer it to them in a way that makes sense.
Well, after a while, you actually start to see that preparing your own food is a form of emotional nurturing and self-care.
Yes, that's right. And you feel better.
You do. You feel better. I think it can boost your self-esteem. Dr. Ripich, I'm gonna throw you a curveball here. We're going to go onto Facebook for just a minute and answer a question from Joseph Ska. This is what he writes. I read where they found type 3 is caused by electromagnetic waves from treadmill exercise machines. Have you read of that? What do you have to say to the doctor? What would you tell Joseph?
Well, you know, I find it hard to believe that electromagnetic energy is the exclusive cause of diabetes, but I don't discount electromagnetic energy as a source of problems for people. And I just have to say that, you know, when you're trying to recover your health, it's been my experience that you should go for the low-hanging fruit first and have a healthy diet and have a healthy lifestyle and make sure you exercise in a healthy way, get plenty of help. And then if you're still having problems, then I would look at other sources of problems. Electromagnetic energy may not be the first one I would go for, but there's no denying that there is a connection between your personal health and the health of the planet. And my patients describe it perfectly. You know, I just read this statistic. You know, I love for my patients to stay hydrated. But I read this statistic that here in the United States, we drank enough bottled water to circle the globe 100 times with the trash we create from these bottles of water. So my
100 times in a what?
Say it again.
Oh, it could circle the globe 100 times with what? Oh,
with
the trash that we make?
We create from these bottled waters.
Funny. I was having a discussion with a friend today. We were taking a hike, and we were talking about bottled water. And I have stainless steel bottles, which means that I fill them up as I go. But I recently took a tour of Northern California and Oregon, and somewhere around Eugene, Oregon, and then up to Napa, California, which were heavy agricultural areas, using unfiltered tap water became very hazardous to my health. I literally was sitting in my car one day, looking at my eyes in the rearview mirror, just because the rearview mirror happened to be there, and they looked clear and healthy. I drank 8 ounces of tap water, and my eyes started to burn, and they turned red. So
I'm not against having clean water. That's not the point.
Well, no, but I'm just saying that that was one of the obstacles I saw, because I was getting away from, you know, buying bottled water and plastic because I didn't want to contribute to the environmental, pollution, and also because of the plastics that come off of the plastic water bottles, you know, especially if the bottle gets hot and it can leak.
That's right.
Right. So I tried to avoid all that, and the next thing I know, I had this other problem, which was, you know, don't drink the water in certain parts of the country.
Yes, I know. That's all reasonable, but I'm talking about what comes out of your kitchen sink. You have to start with where you are. And when your audience member suggests about electromagnetic energy,
right.
Yes, that's reasonable. You gotta pay attention to all those things and start with where you are.
Okay, well, just I'm actually posting your answer on Facebook to Joseph Scott, so I just want to make sure I got it right. I said Dr. Ripich does not believe electromagnetic waves could cause diabetes, but he does believe it could contribute to it. In his words, there is no denying that our health is connected to the health of the planet. Did I
That's
paraphrase
right.
you accurately?
That's exactly right.
All right. I'm going to go ahead and hit comment. Joseph, if you're tuned in, you're already hearing this, but if you just happen to be on Facebook, you can check out the answer from the good doctor right there. We're going to go on to a couple other comments. We've got one from Bianca Hassan who says, I think once you realize how much better healthy food makes you feel, you stop considering option one, which as I had posted was, would you rather feel sick and eat what you like? Carrie Christensen says, I struggle with that question. My mind says I prefer the second choice. Sometimes hard to follow through on that. So here we have, you know, pretty typical stance where people do feel like it's an either-or proposition, such as how I had posed it. You know, it's basically you can eat what's right for you and be miserable, but at least you'll be healthy, or you can really enjoy your food and you're probably going to be sick. And I know that you want to reframe that, so I'm going to go ahead and let you do that right now. How do we reframe that? How do we change our perspective on this, you know, kind of win-lose proposition?
Well, if you think that healthy food tastes bad, then you haven't tasted the right healthy food yet. Especially there in California, there's plenty of great things that you can eat, which are healthy and not going to make you sick. If you revert to a conventional way of eating, which, you know, if your palate is directed to donuts, then I don't know what to say. That's not a healthy thing. It's not going to make you feel good. And if you will give yourself the opportunity to try eating healthy foods, you will find that your palate changes in as little as 2 weeks. And that's what I ask people on 30-Day Diabetes Cure to do. Just give me a chance. Give me a step up at the plate, and I will show you that if you can abstain from crappy foods for as little as 10 days, you won't want them anymore. Your craving for sugar, your craving for white flour will go away. And then suddenly you feel better. And when you taste them again, you won't want it.
Okay. So you're saying that only takes 2 weeks?
I'm saying it only takes 10 days. On day one, 30-day diabetes cure, I ask you to abstain from white sugar and those kinds of things and just hang with me. Just hang with me for 10 days. At the end of 10 days, I'm not going to give you permission to go back to it, but you will find that you're not going to crave it as much. You're not going to crave sweet. You're not going to crave carbohydrates because in the meanwhile, on day two, you're eating sugar. On day three, you're cutting out sugary things. You're going to find other substitutes that will work for you to sustain you. And then by day 10, you're going to feel like, you know what? I don't want to eat that way anymore.
Okay. All right. And so basically,
this is not just me talking. Go onto my website, 30daydiabetescure.com, and my patients talk about it. They talk about how actually it's pretty easy. When you make the break, it tends to last. You know, one of the things I ask patients to do is to be sure that they snack so they're getting enough food. You eat a healthy breakfast, and I talk to you about what that's like. Then mid-morning, you have a healthy snack. By lunchtime, you're not ravenously hungry. You don't overeat. You don't eat a bunch of crap. You have a healthy lunch. And then mid-afternoon, you have a snack again, a healthy snack, not a candy bar, not a beverage from the pop machine. You have a healthy snack that you brought with you. And then comes dinner. And you know what? You eat a healthy dinner and you feel satisfied. This is the beginning to the road to a healthy lifestyle.
It really does change your relationship to food. So, you know, I have food allergies, and one of the things that happens with that is that you actually crave the foods that you're allergic to. And certainly once you get into that addictive cycle and that craving sensation, it's never satisfying. I can remember before I found out that I had an intolerance for things like white flour and dairy that if I had one cookie, I needed to have the whole bag of cookies. And it was like you could never get enough. And I suppose the other side of that, too, is just that when you're eating junk, your body is literally starving. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, and the only thing I would add to that, though, is that if you could go 10 days without eating that stuff, that you would be surprised. You don't crave it as much. It does not hold on to you as much as you think, because if you eat it every day, if you surrender every day, and as I said, you know, I don't ask for big dramatic changes. If you just make incremental changes and then build in things that support you as you go along, you'll find that at the end of 30 days, you won't recognize the difference that you have made in yourself.
Absolutely. Well, I have a question to ask you about your patients. What do you think, if you had to say, what is the number one obstacle that most of your patients experience that you have to help them get past in order to actually get them on the road to recovery? What's the number one obstacle?
I would guess that the number one obstacle that they have to overcome is everything that they've been taught about their self-image and things that have to do with, for example, their weight and so on. I don't weigh patients when they come to my office. And women in particular, it has been my experience, have a horrible relationship with the scale. So what I have to teach patients is, nope, we're not talking about weight loss here. We're talking about a healthy life. And the weight will come off secondarily. But, you know, I don't care. And, you know, the reason I don't care is because there is never going to come a number on a scale where I say, yippee, okay, that's great. Now you can go back to eating what you want. I talk about changing how you view your relationship with health, not weight, not food, but with health and your ability to claim your rights to a healthy lifestyle.
Well, we got people singing your praises out here, or at least they're in agreement with you. We've got Yanda Jesus says, go with the safe food. And Almond Lawner Taylor says, not to be a troublemaker, but the foods I love are healthy. I actually crave whole grains. Honestly, don't like cake and hamburgers. Coming of age in the 60s hippie commune had some advantages. Pam Larry says, true that, Almond. Real food simply tastes better Amen.
Well, there you go. And you know what the secret is? To tap back into that. Tap back into that natural wisdom that we all have about what makes sense. And, you know, the cornerstone of my practice is based on a core belief that your body has enormous power to heal itself if we just give it a chance. That is 180 degrees different than conventional medicine that says, you got diabetes, you're stuck with it, might as well take the medicine.
So do you have research to back that up? Or, I mean, or why is it that the mainstream medical profession doesn't seem savvy to that? If the body
when you read 30-day diabetes cure, it's not about alternative medicine. It's all about conventional medicine. You know, UCLA did a study that suggested that if you would make small changes in your diet and exercise, they would protect you against type 2 diabetes more effectively than metformin. I think I may have mentioned this already. And there were plenty of studies in conventional literature. You know, this isn't about new age stuff. This isn't about intuitive ways of knowing.
Right.
You know, there's lots of evidence that you can still make a change. You can make a difference with what you do. You know, there's all this evidence. Lancet did a nice study. That's the British Medical Journal, about people who just increased fiber in their diet. You know, they started out with people who were eating a small amount of fiber in their diet, and they increased it. They doubled that amount, and they were able to maintain their blood sugar. Look at this information in the conventional literature about eating beans every day. You know, we Americans don't eat a lot of beans because we think of them as hard to digest, they give us gas, and so on. Yet we know that beans are loaded with soluble and insoluble fiber. That's such a great thing. They tend to bind carbohydrates in our guts so we don't absorb them. They prevent a spike in blood sugar after our meals, and it even lasts into the second day. There's, you know, this is not hocus pocus here. This is what conventional medicine shows us.
You know, you're speaking about changing one's blood sugar with fiber. This is something my mother did a couple years back. Now, at the beginning of our hour here, I mentioned we have a lot of blood sugar irregularities in our family tree. And my mother has learned to control most of her health through diet. So the doctor had told her, well, we don't like the numbers. We're thinking maybe we should get you on insulin. And she said, give me 1 month. And the doctor's like, well, you know, I guess 1 month isn't going to kill you. So, okay, you can have 1 month. And she came back, and they took her blood, tested it, and they looked at her with shock in their eyes, and they go, what did you do? Because they had never seen anybody's blood change so quickly. And all my mother had done, she already had a fabulous diet. She wasn't eating sugar or processed foods of any kind. But she just, you know, added a tiny bit more fiber. It's a tiny bit more fiber, and it switched her numbers, and they never did put her on insulin.
Well, there you have it. That's my experience, too, with my patients. And, you know, as I said before, you don't have to take my word for it. Go to my website, 30-Day Diabetes Cure, and listen to what my patients have to say. It's right there. It's there. It's accessible. If there was one thing that I could communicate to your patients in this your audience in this radio interview, it's that it's never too late for you to take charge of your health. There is no thing that you can do that is so small that it's inconsequential. You can make a huge difference this way. You know, the World Health Organization says that soon 1 in every 5 people will be affected by diabetes. Can you imagine that?
It's shocking. I was looking here, too. You said that 90, 5% of all cases of diabetes are type 2. The average diabetic requires at least $40,000 to $80,000 in additional medical care. And
yep.
average diabetes-related drugs cost an average of $400 a month. Yeah, those are all frightening statistics. And then here, last year in 2009, the U.S. spent $174 billion in diabetes treatment.
Yes, and there's a reason for that. There's a lot of people who are making a lot of money off of diabetes treatments, so there is no incentive to get people off of their medicine. I don't want to talk about a government conspiracy thing. I don't believe in conspiracy theory. Sorry. I live on
I'm a dog lover, too.
Well, I hope you're a bear
great.
Lover.
What kind of a dog do you have?
I have a golden retriever and a black lab, both of whom I rescued, but I'm having a big problem this month with bears coming down. I live out in the national forest. I live a very natural life here. So it's,
I do, too. I live in the Tahoe National Forest, and I heard something running through my yard while we were doing this broadcast, but my dog's so tired from a big hike yesterday, she didn't even wake up. Well, yeah, I get bear within 100 feet of my cabin. That's so funny. Mm.
Oh. So anyway, yes, you know, it's up to us to make the difference. It's up to us to take charge and make things work for us. And that starts with claiming control of your health. That starts with
You know, the probably the most effective aspect of your message is really about the incremental small changes and how much of a difference those can make. Because I think it's so overwhelming for people to think about making changes that they feel like unless they make drastic changes, it's not going to help anyway. So then they give up before they start.
I think part of that is, and again, I'm going to say, I don't want a big conspiracy theory here. It's just a stylistic difference. When you go to a conventional doctor, they sort of don't believe in dietary and lifestyle changes, so they dump it on you. Here, you have diabetes, and here's what you need to do, but it's not really going to work, and they communicate that to people. And so it's demoralizing from the get-go. What I have learned from my patients is that you can change things. You can transform your life. I'm all about transformation and, you know, being the healthiest person you can be. And as I said before, you know, of the 30-day diabetes cure, less than half of what I have to say is about diet. Mostly it's about changing how you live your life. It's about what you said, going out for a hike, enjoying nature, managing your mood, managing your stress, you know.
Wow.
Upsettling.
So your book really is very holistic. You covered all the bases there.
Well, that's the only way you're going to make a difference with this whole diabetes thing. If you think you can eat your way out of a diabetes diagnosis, it just doesn't work. What makes sense is for you to have a holistic approach and to do these things that you need to do. You know, there's a lot of diet books on the market that promise that the diet. You know, you were talking about that raw foods diet.
Right.
You know, diet is just one small aspect of who we are as people, but it doesn't consider, for example, our emotional needs when we eat. You know, that's one of the things I talk about in 30-Day Diabetes Cure, is finding satisfaction in your life, finding a way to manage stress so that you don't need to comfort yourself with crappy food.
What's the first step that you would give our listeners tonight as far as that goes? What's the first step that they could take about changing their life so that they don't even crave the so-called comfort foods? Or are you suggesting that they develop a relationship with a healthy food item that becomes their new comfort food. What are you actually saying there?
So I think, you know, I have this practice, this medical practice in Santa Fe, and there's a selection process that sort of goes on in that people who show up at my door have already reached this point where they're sick and tired of doing the conventional thing, and they want a change. And so the very first step is to claim your right to a healthy life, to an abundant life, which doesn't include self-destructive behaviors and so on. And then once you get there, once you claim your right to a healthy life, I can teach you how to access all of that stuff with 30-day diabetes cure. There are some very practical things that you need to be doing, and I have learned those from my patients, and I put it in print. It's right there. You can find the book. I work with a very small publisher, so right now the best way to find the book is on the website, www.30daydiabetescure.com. Or
okay.
You can go to my own website, which talks about me and my practice, at theonemedicine.com, and follow the link to the book. And then, but once you make the decision that you want something different for yourself, there are some very practical things that you need to do, and I can teach you how to do that.
Fabulous. Well, now, one last thing here before we close tonight. I'm going to call upon you to defend this. You make a very bold assertion here, which is that the cure rate for those with type 2 diabetes who follow your advice is 100%.
Well, yes, you know, that's true. As I said, there's a selection process that goes on before people have come into my office, and people are very committed. And so far, I've been very blessed to have patients who have been able to implement my program, and so far, not one single patient who follows it has not been able to reverse their diabetes and get off their meds. Now, eventually, somebody's going to come in who is either not interested in really doing what they need to do, or maybe they have progressed so far, but even if they never really got off their meds entirely, I feel confident that if they follow my regimen, they will be taking the least amount of medicines that they need to take. And that's the real solution. If you find a cure as a regression of symptoms so significant that you can reduce or eliminate the meds you take, then yes, I still stand behind it. I can cure diabetes. Maybe, and especially obviously for type 1 diabetics, I'm never going to get you off insulin, but my patient Jay talks about on the website how he reduced his insulin by 80% by just doing what he needed to do. And, you know, he was a good guy. He was a good guy. He had kidney cancer, and his tumor got so big that it crushed his pancreas and killed it, so he needed to be on insulin. But what he learned about type 1 diabetes was just eat what you want and calculate your insulin accordingly. And he was miserable. He came to me, and I said, no, fix your lifestyle first, and then we'll work with the insulin. He reduced his intake by 80%. That's a huge deal. That's what I promise people.
Yeah. Well, I think that's amazing. We've got one last comment here from Facebook. Pam Larry came back and said, yes, and it's interesting that the further away you get from unhealthy foods, the sooner you see that there is a reason they call it junk. Junk food tastes like junk once you get your taste buds back from the gunk. That stuff smells awful, tastes awful, feels awful. It's also interesting to note that my grandkids, given the choice between soda and water, will choose water. At age 5, he was given his first fast food burger and wouldn't eat it. I'd go hungry before putting that crap in my mouth. Makes me gag.
Well, there you go.
We have a few people who are very interested in health here in the shame-free zone. And And I want to thank you for joining us here. Before we sign off, I want to give you a chance once again to tell people how they can get your book, how they can reach you, and what can they actually work with you one-on-one over the phone, or you know, are you available to people outside of Santa Fe?
You know, it would really be unethical for me to deliver really serious, credible medical care to patients that I had never seen and just talked to over the phone. So I actually don't do that, but I help you find doctors in your area that will work with you. And you can find out more about me at www.theonemedicine.com, and you can follow a link there to the book or go directly to the book at www.30diabetescure.com.
Wow. Well, I think you're doing wonderful work, and I hope that it catches on. I really do. God knows there's so many people out there that are suffering, and we've got a real epidemic on our hands. So thank you, Dr. Stefan Ripich, for stemming the tide.
Thank you, Veronica, for the opportunity to get the word out to people. And you know what? If you never buy my book, if you never are interested in 30-Day Diabetes Cure, I hope that your audience can come away with this message. It's never too late to take charge of your health, to live a healthy and vibrant life. Take control. Don't listen to what you were taught. Follow your heart and do the right thing. There is nothing
right on,
you can do.
Right on. Good words to live by. Thank you so much.
Thank you
and
so much.
I couldn't agree more, by the way. That's what the Shame-Free Zone is all about, and that is about the rebirthing of ourselves at every turn so that we never, ever start to think that this is it, this is as good as it's going to get. You know, whether that's your health, your relationship, your sex life, your spiritual life, life is meant to be a journey that is constantly pushing us into change, and it seems that we oftentimes have some resistance to change, but change is a good thing. It always brings with it lots and lots of opportunity. So, and I want to let listeners know that I'm going to be coming to San Francisco again. Be there the 1st of September, the 2nd of September, the 3rd, and part of the 4th. So, I will once again be offering in-person appointments. I won't be working out of my office in Nevada City on those 4 days, but I will be able to do house calls if you live anywhere in the Bay Area. So that would include San Jose, Santa Clara, Fremont, Los Gatos, San Francisco, Oakland, you know, surrounding areas there. I don't know that I'm going to go all the way to Napa or Santa Cruz this time, but probably within 50 miles of San Francisco. And, of course, on my way back, I'll be heading through Sacramento and Auburn and Grass Valley and Nevada City. So if you want an in-person appointment, you can text me or call me at 415-407-2932. That's 415-407-2932. Between now and then, for the next week, you'll be able to reach me at my 800 number, which is 888-903-0050. That's 888-903-0050. And be sure and sign up as a friend on Facebook if you aren't there already. I'm pushing the 4,000 mark on friends here, so hurry to make sure that you get in before I hit that 5,000 friend limit that Facebook has us on. That's it for the Shame-Free Zone for tonight. I look forward to checking in with you next Monday when we will have a surprise guest. Okay, good night.
Thank you for tuning in tonight. If you liked what you heard and you want more solutions for your love life, please call me toll-free at 888-903-0050. Once again, that number is 888-903-0050. I am the only person who answers that line, and I am usually available Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. Pacific Time. You can also visit sexwithoutshame.com to discover more of what I can do for you. And remember, your secret is safe with me. Today's
disappear.